LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Fears of a more widespread war in the Middle East now that Iran has retaliated against Israel's attacks.
There were dozens of targets throughout Iran that were struck, including some of Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, that is something that has never been struck in recent times, as far as we can tell.
ABC Pentagon reporter Louis Martinez, Iran striking back with drones in Tel Aviv. Here's ABC's Marcus Moore.
Tensions between Israel and Iran have been building for decades, with Iran arming militias like Hezbollah and Hamas and pushing ahead with a nuclear program despite international opposition. Tensions erupted in 2023 after Iran-backed Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, sparking the war in Gaza. Iran launching its first ever direct missile attack on Israel during the war.
This appears to be the most significant attack Iran has faced since its 1980s war with Iraq. Secretary of State Marco Rubio stressing there was no U.S. involvement. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. David Lynch was prepping a Netflix series before he passed away earlier this year at the age of 78. According to IndieWire, he had assembled a cast of his favorites, including Naomi Watts, Kyle MacLachlan, and Laura Dern, for a show he was prepping called Unrecorded Night. Lynch's daughter Jennifer, also a filmmaker, says there was a finished script that might now be released as a book, adding that she and her siblings would not try to make one of his ideas themselves. Sources say the show was set in Los Angeles in Old Hollywood. Would have been nice to see what he did with that. Actor Harris Yulin has passed away at the age of 87. Yulin's credits include films like Ghostbusters, Scarface, and Clear and Present Danger. But recently, he was probably most recognizable for his role as Buddy in Ozark, the old tough guy who lived with the Bird family. Yulin was nominated for an Emmy Award for his guest appearance on the show Frasier. He was an old school actor who had passion for the craft and was a solid addition to any cast he joined. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's a wrap on minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Packers completed their three-day minicamp. Linebacker Quay Walker unable to practice. He suffered an ankle injury at the end of last season. Matt LaFleur presenting Mark Murphy an autographed helmet signed by all the players. Murphy stepping down after 17 years as team president. The NBA Finals continue tonight. The Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, led by Tyrese Halliburton.
Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. You know, taking what the defense gives me, trying to play the right way, and watch film, see where I can get better and be ready to go for game four.
Baseball, Brewers and Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The crew winning 6-0 last night in the series opener, but pitcher Aaron Civale, not happy about being moved to the bullpen, says he called his agent about being traded.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That'll give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give.
That's Aaron Civale with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kendall Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have our Courier Newsroom check-in on national stories, plus our Week in Review panel, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and Sports with Mike Clemens.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, more scattered storms, low in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy scattered showers or thundershowers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by the ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Johnson, to talk about the MAGA regime's denial of reality as federal budget cuts loom.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Been a busy week. The 96th annual Wisconsin State FFA convention drew to a close at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison with the naming of their next Wisconsin State FFA president. You will be hearing from her. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be a busy weekend. I mentioned we've got 16 different June dairy events happening on Saturday alone around Wisconsin. The classic John Deere reunion is happening in West Bend. Don't forget about that, in conjunction with their June dairy breakfast tomorrow morning. We've got the Peony Festival underway in Beaver Dam, so not lacking in items to keep you busy. Weather-wise, if you're going to be busy at any of them, expect sunshine on the way today. Looks like we'll see daytime highs probably right around 80 degrees. For tomorrow, sunshine and 81. Sunday, chances showers in the afternoon. 83 are expected high. We do have a sliver of a chance of showers this afternoon, probably after 3. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that. He's joining us in about 15 minutes. Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage, if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping. I always talk about the adventures that I go on as a farm broadcaster. I'm Joe Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but chatting with you from Madison and the 96th Wisconsin State FFA Convention. And I've got a young lady that's been on an adventure, really, of a lifetime. The 2024-2025 National FFA Vice President from the Central Region, Mary Schreiber, from our great state of Wisconsin, has had quite a year of service so far. Let's get a little bit of rundown. I visited with you early this last year, and you had, went through your training, you had your international experience. Where have you gone from there?
So we're already about 7 months through this year, which is just flying by. In the past few months, I've spent a lot of time at state FFA conventions, some conferences all across the country, engaging with students on chapter visits, different competitions. It's really been the thrill of a lifetime to get to do this.
What conventions and how far have you traveled?
I've been to New Hampshire, New York, Nebraska, Connecticut, and here in Wisconsin is my fifth, and then I'll head off to North Carolina and Texas over the 4th of July. So over this year, we travel about 100,000 miles, but just between conventions alone, that's maybe 30,000. So it's very, very busy, but really wonderful.
So you must be just about up to that gold set status when you're flying, right?
Oh, yeah. I am racking up the mileage points, which is really nice. So hopefully I'll get to take advantage of that later.
Going to these conventions, you're not just there as a spectator. They put you to work a little bit. What are some of those experiences you've had in these other states?
I've been very lucky to share some keynote addresses with students in the conference and convention attendees. Sometimes I do workshops or I help out with sessions. Maybe I'm speaking really quickly at a banquet just to offer some greetings or remarks. Whatever they need me to do, I'm happy to jump in and help and offer that support to state staff and the state officers that are running that convention.
Had the opportunity to go across the United States. There are a few differences. What's something that you've really noticed
I would say it definitely connects back to that difference in agriculture. I was in North Dakota last week, and North Dakota is very unique because half of the state, the side that's closer to Minnesota, the east side, is some of the best soil that you'll get in the country. So the farming there is really incredible, but the west side of the state is more badlands. So it's lots of ranching and that side of ag. So it's really unique to see those two different cultures come together, and that's what makes up North Dakota FFA. And here in Wisconsin, our ag is also super diverse. So it's unique to see how those different agriculture cultures blend in to create different types and versions of FFA. But what really strikes me is that wherever I go, I still feel that same sense of community and belonging. Whatever convention I walk into, it feels like coming home somewhere. So I really appreciate that. Despite the differences in our agriculture and the differences in our regular societal culture, FFA is still all about that sense of home.
We talked about how FFA is the same in a lot of places. What's something that you will be taking home with you from this year of service?
So I was talking to Mrs. Terry Costello the other day. She's our alumni executive director, and she used to be an agriculture educator. And she told me that when she signed up to be a teacher, that she wanted to impact students. That was the goal. But she realized a long time after she was teaching that really being an educator is so much impact that you receive is from the students. And that was sort of the hidden reason, I think, why she wanted to teach and why she impacted all those students, is to receive that impact back. And I think this year that's also kind of been my story. I signed up to this to practice brotherhood with students wherever I go. We talk about that all the time in FFA, but the brotherhood that I get back, I think, is really what makes this year so special. I keep talking that everywhere in national office, you're pouring out of your cup, you're pouring out of your bucket, but what is pouring back into me, it just overflows all the time. So I'm very grateful that I get to impact students, but I'm even more grateful that wherever I go, they're impacting me.
And we're talking to Mary Schreiber. She's the National Vice President from our Central Region for this year in the FFA. Let's take a little bit look ahead. We've got some summertime months coming up here. Any other gatherings that are going to be happening across the nation?
Yeah, I'll be headed to the New York FFA camp coming up here in July. And then we'll also be preparing for State Officer Summit, which happens out in Washington, D.C. All the state officers from across the country will come to D.C. to learn a little bit more about agricultural advocacy and the things that they can do to help bring their associations to the next level when they get back home. And then after State Officer Summit, we'll start our prep for National Convention, which will kick off at the end of October. We're really excited to get that fired up.
The theme is out. What's that all about?
Yes, it was just released the other day. The theme for our convention is Empower. So we're going to be talking about empowering students, empowering agriculture, empowering the future. It's going to be a really wonderful week. We're super excited to get going.
And this Empower, that's kind of part of a series. What were the other two?
Yeah, that's right. So a couple years ago, the theme was Evolve, and then it was Engage, and this year's Empower. And that's actually based off of the strategic plan that National FFA has been operating on the last couple years. So we're talking about evolving our programming to make sure that we're matching those industry standards, preparing students for their future, engaging different communities to ensure that all students have access to a quality agriculture education and FFA experience. And now we're going to be talking about empowering, so those state and local leaders who help to meet students where they're at. Because, of course, we know FFA is a grassroots organization. We can't have National FFA without Wisconsin FFA, and Wisconsin FFA can't happen without our chapters. So this year we're going to be talking about meeting those leaders where we're at and helping them achieve things so we can help out our students.
And so far we've been talking about your student engagement and your conferences and your conventions that you've gone to, but you do get in on some industry meets. You get out there and you get to tell the ag story to some that don't always know the whole picture.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to travel all across the country to meet with some of those corporate partners with National FFA. I had the chance to meet with Culver's here in Wisconsin and Case IH. I've traveled to Bayer and Syngenta and Rabo AgriFinance. It's been a really cool way to learn a little bit more about the agriculture industry from that corporate perspective, and also to have a new appreciation for what FFA does for students and their futures, because I've met so many former FFA members or agriculture teachers who have entered the workforce because of that FFA experience, whether they're individual donors like Mr. Harry Stein in Iowa, who owns 90% of the world's soybean genetics and credits all of his experiences to FFA, or a past state officer from California who now works in global agri-finance at Rabo. So it's really cool to see the extension of those stories. And I think about that as I travel to conventions, what incredible things these students will go off and become and do after they hang up that blue jacket.
Going out to these industries and learning more about them, how has that impacted you?
Yeah, it's very impactful. We're very appreciative of all of our corporate partners for their support. And I really appreciate their willingness to learn a little bit more about FFA, especially the student stories. This year as a national officer, my teammates and I talk a lot about being stewards of stories. So the students that we meet out on the road, how can we spread their impact and talk a little bit about their experiences? And I think that is what, as a corporate partner, they really love to hear those stories about how their funding is helping to support students, just like the ones that they used to be when they were agriculture education students and FFA members. So I'm very appreciative that they're always willing to learn a little bit more about our students and the impacts that FFA is having in their lives.
This fall comes, a lot of prep for this national convention.
I'm very excited. My teammates and I will together memorize about 40 hours of content to deliver to all the students there at the Lucas Oil Stadium and all the other attendees, preparing to deliver my retiring address, which is this really incredible but also sort of daunting message that I get to deliver. So I'm very privileged to get to start developing those ideas and writing that speech and engaging with those corporate partners and those students that we met throughout the year. So I'm excited to make that final mark and celebrate all the accomplishments of our students this year.
And celebrate, I'm sure we will, down at that national convention in Indianapolis. If you were talking to a student out there and they were on the fence, should I run for an office, whether it be state, national, even local, what would you tell them that you got out of putting out a year of service?
When it comes to running for state or a national office, I think one of the coolest things that isn't talked about a whole lot is you have the opportunity to deeply understand who you are and the values that you bring to the table, your strengths and your weaknesses. And no matter what had happened in Indy, whether I got elected or not, I think that gift of being able to appreciate yourself and appreciate the people that have poured into you was such an incredible gift. So I would say go for it, because it's a great chance to understand who you are, and it's an even better chance to give back to the agriculture industry that had poured so much into you.
Well, I have truly enjoyed visiting with you. I've done a few interviews with you as a state officer, then the state president, now national officer. You had a few years of college left. What do you think is going to be on that next page?
I'm excited. In January, I'll go back to school. I keep joking this year I'm a temporary college dropout, but I'll be back come this winter. And I'm hoping to study agriculture leadership, hopefully to look into agriculture policy, lobbying, perhaps a legislative assistant. So we'll see what kind of doors open up along the way. But FFA has been opening a lot of them for me recently, so I'm very excited to see how that all pans out.
And that's our 2024-2025 National FFA Vice President from the Central Region, and our great state of Wisconsin, Mary Schreiber. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but visiting with you right now from the southern end in Madison.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, his new column suggests Governor Evers should not run for another term. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
Just joining us this morning. Yeah, I'm going to be at the Dane County Breakfast on the Farm tomorrow morning. Our girl Kylie Allen is over in West Bend today for the classic green reunion. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, but there's also little specks of water out there on the radar this morning. Not so much in southern Wisconsin right now, but you say it could show up?
It's a possibility, but Pam, I look more to the northern part of the state where they've had rain. And, you know, they say that far northern part of the state may be too dry. Well, let's see. I've got Eau Claire at 2,800 hundredths of an inch so far. Wausau at 99 hundredths of an inch. Thorpe right up there in Clark County, 76 hundredths of an inch. I even had Park Falls weigh in at a whole 4 hundredths of an inch. And then look to Minnesota, Minneapolis, 84 hundredths of an inch, over 8/10 of rain already.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just saw the latest notes from the Department of Agriculture, and there's a tier from Grant County to Kenosha County that's still moderately drought. And then north of 29, I guess, is really pretty dry.
Well, the north part's getting rain. I think they're probably making up for a little bit of it. In the south, the rain's a little more hard, difficult to come by. I mean, let's look at our map. We see this front that extends from Wyoming into Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and there's a low pressure center moving right along that frontal boundary towards southern South Dakota this morning. And then north of that boundary, that's where the rain is. Northeast South Dakota, southeast North Dakota, into western and central Minnesota, St. Cloud to the Twin Cities, and then on into Wisconsin. Yes, Eau Claire, Wausau, Rhinelander, up to Park Falls, up toward Marinette, Menominee, Iron Mountain, Michigan. That's where the rain is. In the south, we don't have much to talk about. Oh, there's some rain south of that frontal boundary down in southern parts of Illinois and into Missouri. So that rain chance in southern Wisconsin may not turn out to be much. Maybe a little shower or thunderstorm could pop up a bit later this afternoon or into the evening in the south. There'll be more rain in the north. I'd say in the north, another easily quarter to half inch of rain, if not even a bit more by later tonight. I'll have more of that forecast right after this.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have that weather forecast. Give us as much detail as you can, because people that are involved in the Dairy Breakfast, the Classic Green Reunion, the Peony Festival, and much more are hanging on every detail.
Yeah, well, there's a big separation. If you're in the north, it's cloudy and there's rain today. Showers and thunderstorms in northern Wisconsin. They continue into the nighttime. You'll be a lot cooler in far northern Wisconsin. There may be an upper 50 for a high at Park Falls, 60s elsewhere, but not very warm. In the south, more likely some sunshine, a small rain chance later in the day, and those temps pushing into the mid and upper 70s. Kind of the same tonight, that rain more likely in the north, a smaller chance in the south. Tomorrow, lingering showers north, some sun in the south, a little rain tries to sneak in the west late in the day, could be around later Saturday night or on towards Sunday. Southern Wisconsin going to be a lot warmer and has a much better chance of staying dry. The northern part of the state's where that rain's going to be, although late Sunday, there could be showers or thunderstorms popping up almost anywhere. But in the southern part of the state, Pam, upper 70s and low 80s. Saturday and Sunday certainly warming up. In the north, maybe just getting back into the 70s. Cooler and more wet there.
Oh, we're going to keep an eye on it. All right, Stu, thanks. Have a good weekend, buddy.
You too. Take care.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Find them online at compure.com. Talk text line is open for you, folks. Use it.
This is the Midwest.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matinee Air on Air.
We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a Civic Media news reporter.
Nice.
On our Civic Media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks you know talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seen press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, not necessarily happy. The tariffs are something that's really turned this country around, and not necessarily in a good way. It's short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, it seems pretty vague. And certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life, he was one of those people?
That's something he was, we have on video and we played it on various shows. And he not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically SNAP. He was talking about SNAP benefits, but he also, accuse the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that SNAP benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Darren?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, currently there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills. Which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one, and so let's keep them together.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Fears of a more widespread war in the Middle East now that Iran has retaliated against Israel's attacks.
There were dozens of targets throughout Iran that were struck, including some of Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, that is something that has never been struck in recent times, as far as we can tell.
ABC Pentagon reporter Louis Martinez, Iran striking back with drones in Tel Aviv. Here's ABC's Marcus Moore.
Tensions between Israel and Iran have been building for decades, with Iran arming militias like Hezbollah and Hamas and pushing ahead with a nuclear program despite international opposition. Tensions erupted in 2023 after Iran-backed Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, sparking the war in Gaza. Iran launching its first ever direct missile attack on Israel during the war.
This appears to be the most significant attack Iran has faced since its 1980s war with Iraq. Secretary of State Marco Rubio stressing there was no U.S. involvement. This is ABC News.
That's a wrap on minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Packers completed their three-day minicamp. Linebacker Quay Walker unable to practice. He suffered an ankle injury at the end of last season. Matt LaFleur presenting Mark Murphy, an autographed helmet signed by all the players. Murphy stepping down after 17 years as team president. The NBA Finals continue tonight. The Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, led by Tyrese Halliburton.
Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. You know, taking what the defense gives me, trying to play the right way, and watch film, see where I can get better and be ready to go for game four.
Baseball, Brewers and Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The crew winning 6-0 last night in the series opener, but pitcher Aaron Civale, not happy about being moved to the bullpen, says he called his agent about being traded.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That'll give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give.
That's Aaron Civale with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actress Stephanie Gurnow, comedian Steve Hofstetter, and it's a bar band Friday night, so I'm joined by Max Inc. host Rocker, who is filling in for Terry Barr. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, more scattered storms, low in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers or thundershowers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Alba Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Madursky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Madursky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species, to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature, to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like, but that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Alba Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Of a standout big name player.
Well, thank goodness the weather looks like it is going to cooperate with us this weekend. It's a busy weekend around the state of Wisconsin. 16 different dairy events happening tomorrow. Want to encourage you to take a look at wisconsindairy.org. Our friends in Vernon County, La Crosse County, Walworth County, Lafayette, Dane County, Washington County, to name just a few, as well as Watertown Agribusiness, all inviting you out for a dairy event. WisconsinDairy.org has the details for you. The Wisconsin State FFA convention wrapped to a close yesterday. Fantastic success. Really an energizer if you are in Wisconsin agriculture or agribusiness to see these young people at work. Congratulations to the newly selected officer team, Harley Prill from Bloomer, Tanyelle Dukeman from Stanley Boyd, Corbin Weber from Cochrane Fountain City, Ava Ford from Prairie du Chien, Sam Mell from DeForest, Brooke Lutke from Partyville, Parker Smith from Loyal, Evan Retzlaff from New London, Leighton Sabisky from Berlin, and Max Lutke from Beaver Dam. They will be led by their new president selected yesterday. We're chatting with her as we roll our way through a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 13th day of June. On this day in 2000, the leaders of South Korea and North Korea met in a historic summit. The talks were initiated by then President of South Korea, Kim Dae-jung, and for the efforts under the Sunshine Policy implementation, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Leaders of South Korea and North Korea meet at a summit this day, 2000. Happy birthday to actor comedian Tim Allen. He is 72 years young today. And the Olsen twins, Ashley and Mary Kate, they turn 39 today. And now you know. Well, we want you to know Wisconsin farmers are still monitoring their fields. It's a little on the cool side when it comes to crop development. Let's talk about it with our friends from Helena Agri. Joining me this morning, Steve Bailey. He is the branch manager for the Monroe location of Helena Agri. Yeah, it is still kind of a little on the cool side for some of these crops, Steve. What's happening in your market?
Yeah, so a lot of things are going on, Pam, right now. We're getting into second pass, been working on that for just over a week here, starting in corn. As you had mentioned, there's not a lot of heat. We haven't had enough heat yet to really get this corn growing fast. So I'd encourage everybody to get out there and walk their fields. In the last 5-6 days, I've seen water hemp where they're present go from 2-4 inches up to 6-8 inches, which everybody that's listening to this has probably heard a talk or two from the university or chem reps or agronomists about killing an 8-inch water hemp is not as easy as it should be. So a lot of things going on. We are starting to do post beans. These beans are small, corn is small, so think about foliar feeding these crops. It would be something I would tell people to ask a lot of questions on, and simply because, as you mentioned, it is dry in areas, and where it's dry, some of these nutrients haven't had enough moisture to get worked in the soil solution. So I want to make sure this crop keeps moving.
Steve Bailey's along with us, market manager for Helena Agri in Monroe. I just always want to remind you, if you want to find an advisor like Steve or the products that Helena Agri has to offer, just jump online, helenaagri.com. Let's talk a little bit also about that service that you alluded to, Steve, and that's tissue sampling. I mean, because every field's been different, every field's had a little different weather conditions, I'm guessing that those plant samples can be a wealth of knowledge and guidance.
Yeah, so one thing I applaud Helena on is we build a lot of our plans off of continuous annual results from either tissue samples or soil samples. So Steph and a couple of the others have been out sampling here for a couple of weeks now, and that plant is kind of a snapshot in time. When you take that leaf, it tells you what that plant is struggling to utilize or is deficient in. So we've been doing this for many, many years, so we get to start seeing trends. You can follow trends with weather patterns, so you can almost predict where we might land with some of these tissue samples. And this year we're seeing nitrogen, although we did put a lot out there with a lack of moisture, some of these tissue samples are coming back with a deficiency or slightly low in nitrogen. So a couple options there to fix that. Obviously in the industry, people are talking about Y drops, flinging urea, or there is some foliar options too. So kind of neat to do a checks and balances, if you will, Pam.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about weather cycles being predictive of what we should be looking for. Same kind of thing with insects. You've got a nice little go-to story on why we might want to be mindful of timing and rootworm.
Yeah, so insects are starting to show up. The soil is warming up, so the bugs that are living in the ground are starting to hatch. And what I'm referring to on that is I learned a long time ago, so 20-plus years in this industry, but when you start seeing cottonwood trees dropping their seeds, the fir, that is about the same GDUs when a rootworm larvae will start hatching. So anybody that wants to start floating rootworm larvae to see how high the pressure is, you could start doing that here in the next week. And I'd really recommend doing that all the way up to the end of the month, just before we get into fungicide passes with the helicopters and airplanes and so on and so forth. But good time just to see what we're going to be challenged with here for maybe the rest of the year for insects.
Well,
there's a little bit of insects too in the alfalfa too we're finding. So
right. Well, and like you said, you've got to kind of stay on top of those things. Fungicide applications around the corner, and we're already getting some concerns about wheat quality and compromise there. So this scouting business is never done, is it?
No, and it's ever-changing, too. I mean, when I first started out in the ag industry, I didn't know what a water hemp was, never had heard of one. So granted, that's over 20 years ago, but it's evolution, and I believe it's our job as agronomists to make sure that we keep everybody in the field up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah. And it changes on a daily basis. Good enough, my friend. Appreciate it. Steve Bailey joining us this morning. He is the branch manager for Helena Agri in their Monroe location. Like I said, they've got the expertise on hand and the emphasis where you need it. Getting the information from the field, translating that into products and services that they can provide. You want to work with them? I don't blame you. Jump online. HelenaAgri.com can get you started.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win tickets to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
So Wall Street is tumbling this morning. Everybody looking for a safe investment window after Israel launched a wide-scale strike against Iran overnight. That is sparking retaliation from Iran. So the world now suddenly looking for safe haven. Dow Jones Industrial Average, last time I looked, was down more than 400 points. Oil prices are soaring, but our commodities are kind of standing still, at least for right now. In Chicago this morning, July corn is unchanged. December new crop down a penny at 440. July soybeans are up 2.5. November new crop a penny stronger right now at 1028. The wheat market 3.5 cents higher at 530 a bushel. Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 185. 40-pound block cheese was down 2 at 184. But the AA butter gained a penny and a half to 254.5 per pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down a nickel at 1815. The August Class 3 milk closed penny lower at 1881 a hundredweight. It is a sure sign that fair season is just around the corner. Yesterday, the Wisconsin State Fair announced the contestants that are involved in the Sporkies and Drinkies final phase of competition. They'll be featured during the Wisconsin State Fair July 31st through August 10th. They've narrowed it down to 8 Sporkies finalists from 35 mouthwatering entries and 4 Drinkies finalists from 17 entries. Take a look at the details. It's up on the Wisconsin State Fair website and ours, MidwestFarmReport.com. Up next, we'll introduce you to the brand new president of the Wisconsin FFA Association. Aubrey Schlimgen joining us with that conversation just around the corner.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for matinee on air.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin, along with the morning crew here, Mino and the Mayor. Find out all things Green Bay. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Peony Arts Festival happening in Beaver Dam. Those are just a few of the items that are tempting you to head to the outdoors this weekend. I'm Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report. You know, the whole team was busy this week covering the Wisconsin State FFA Convention. These are young people that we know, as the Midwest Farm Report, we will see in the future in agribusiness, in the educational setting. And one of those is going to be leading the Wisconsin State FFA for the next calendar year. Aubrey Schlimgen introduces us to our new Wisconsin State FFA president.
The excitement of electing a new president is a time-honored tradition like no other, and electing the new Wisconsin FFA state president is no exception, especially when it has taken place for 96 years. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen for the Midwest Farm Report, and Amalia Draxler has just been named the new Wisconsin State FFA president for the 2025-2026 year. Amalia expresses her commitment and love to the Blue Jacket and shares about her background on how she got to where she is today.
My name is Amalia Draxler. I'm from the Glenwood City FFA, and I'm serving as the new state president of the FFA, which is just, I'm honored to be doing this. A little bit about myself is I grew up in Glenwood City on my family's dairy farm, so I've been very passionate about agriculture all of my life, whether it be in FFA, 4-H, at the fair, fairs to the fair, any avenue I can take to advocate for agriculture is something that is very near and dear to my heart. So I'm currently a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I'm studying agricultural and applied economics and life sciences communications.
And how has your journey been in FFA thus far? Take us to the beginning. What got you into FFA?
Well, the beginning, that was so long ago. This is my 9th year as an FFA member, so it's amazing to think back on all of those experiences. I remember I joined as a 7th grader. My parents were both very active in the FFA, so it was just the next step for me to take naturally to join FFA, but it was the people in the classes and the information and the learning that really kept me in FFA. My first advisor, Mr. Vanderwall, helped me do things like the creed speaking competition, which made me very confident, and eventually my new advisor, Ms. Condor, helped me get into being a state officer. She kept pushing me throughout my high school career. And then after I graduated, she was like, are you going to take this step? And I decided that, yes, I would hope to take this step as a state officer. And now I'm here for a second term as the state FFA president, and I'm so thrilled to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your agricultural background. You talked about being from dairy background. So tell us a little bit more about that and what that plays a role in your life.
My farm is a 6th-generation family dairy farm, so I've been on the farm literally since I could walk. My parents always had me out there working with the calves, and that is what I like to do. I like to work with my dad, whether it's checking the fresh pen or just helping him with preg checks, or I like to go with my mom to the calf barn and help raise our chickens and stuff like that. And now I get the honor of helping other people around me learn about agriculture. I have a 10-year-old sister who we go to the farm together, and we try new things, and it's been a great learning experience. I hope to just continue looking into the future of agriculture as an adult and into the rest of my life, because again, that's something I'm just really passionate about.
And you are studying as a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So what's the drive behind pursuing your degree in your education?
I hope to give back to everybody in my community, and I think that agriculture is an avenue where we truly can live to serve all throughout our life. And so I can accredit everything that I have in my life to my family's farm, and I hope to help other people do that. And so studying economics, I hope to go back into rural policy and economics so that we can study what that looks like for people in rural areas, such as myself. And I hope to continue to advocate for agriculture through my communications degree, whether that might look like hosting a social media page or working with statewide organizations. I think that that's a way I can really give back, and that's what led me to pursue this career choice. And what about this week being the 96th Wisconsin State FA Convention and Expo? Tell us a little bit about the significance behind this being the 96th year.
This is an amazing year. Being the 96th year, we're so close to the 100th year anniversary. And that's really great because we've been seeing our FFA expand exponentially. This year at the 96th Wisconsin FFA Convention, we hit record attendance with over 4,500 members, which is so amazing to see all those jackets and advisors and supporters in one place. And we've hit so many new membership marks, being over the 27,000 mark, and seeing so many new members incorporate themselves into agriculture and leadership roles in different ways has been amazing. And so at the 96th Wisconsin FFA Convention, our members have been really able to take that to the next level.
And what is a legacy that you hope to have left behind, not just this week, but hopefully in this next coming year? Obviously, there's some pretty significant numbers, but what are your plans and hopes and goals to accomplish within this next year?
I hope to continue to grow our membership roles, and I hope to see other avenues of the FFA take their stake in our organization and really expand. So looking at things like the foundation, hopefully getting more partnerships with that and helping our members succeed through that. And also, I really just hope to leave a legacy of being somebody who leads with integrity and honesty and always lives to serve. I plan to pour out through my new team, and I hope to see them encourage members at the chapter level and at the statewide level through conferences, chapter visits, and so much more. I think that we can do incredible things this year to help our members succeed.
And one last thing on a personal note, what was maybe your favorite memory as an FFA member, or even just this past year of being a state officer? What's something you can look back on and say, yes, this is why I do what I do?
My favorite memory as an FFA member was doing the Creed speaking competition. I remember being so nervous going into it, but that was, I think, the first place where I really saw myself succeed in FFA, and I decided to take that to the next level. And that from then on, that has just dominoed effect its way to where I am now. And I think from the last year, my favorite memory has been connecting with all the members. One of my favorite memories was at the Connect and Edge conference. I sat at a table with a bunch of members, and it was the first time we'd met, and we all just grabbed hands and we were cheering about connection and getting to know each other. So I'm looking forward to making more memories like that.
Again, that was Amalia Draxler from the Glenwood City FFA chapter in Section 2, who plans to dedicate her time this next year in investing in her team and for the Wisconsin FFA Association members to help lead in its continuation of further development in the agricultural industry. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter, there's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Significant new resource for food producers in Northwest Arkansas. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. The Market Center for the Ozarks is now open for business in Northwest Arkansas. The $31 million facility had substantial financial support from the Walton Family Foundation of Walmart fame and is designed to assist local farmers and food entrepreneurs. Emily English works for the Walton Family Foundation and heads the center.
From cold storage and processing lines to commercial kitchens and co-working space, every square foot of this facility has been designed for one purpose: to help local food thrive.
The facility is located in the city of Springdale, and Mayor Doug Sprouse is happy to have it there.
It is a hub of innovation and community support, and look forward to seeing how our community is going to support this, buy into it, and benefit from it. And when I talk about our community, you know I'm a homer, so I'm talking mostly about Springdale, but I'm talking about Northwest Arkansas. This is a facility for the region and to help support the food industry in our region.
The new facility also houses an offshoot of the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture called the Arkansas Food Innovation Center. And Daryl Holliday is the director.
I think this building really is a great opportunity, serving as a hub where that knowledge and that creativity from our faculty can go directly into local agriculture and local food enterprise.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have our Courier Newsroom check-in on national stories, plus our Week in Review panel, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and Sports with Mike Clemens.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Tensions between Israel and Iran rising once again after dueling strikes that began when Israel hit several of Iran's nuclear facilities and killed two top generals. Iran striking back with at least 100 drones overnight. ABC's Louis Martinez is at the Pentagon.
Several U.S. officials and Secretary of State Marco Rubio essentially saying there was no U.S. military assistance. There was no U.S. involvement in any of this. This is strictly an Israeli operation, and American officials are being very clear about that. And the reason they're saying this publicly is because they want to protect American military and civilian populations in the Middle East.
Israel says it hit dozens of targets throughout Iran and was justified, according to IDF spokesman Effie Defrin.
The state of Israel has the right and the obligation to operate in order to protect its people, and will continue to do so.
This is ABC News.